Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I got a dead person on my arm. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I am your TV guide, Barb Hardley, a gorgeous drag queen that you can see right now if you go to YouTube and watch Must Have Seen TV on YouTube. And let's say hello to the Laverne to my Shirley, or the Lenny to my Squiggy, Ethan K. Hello, Ethan.
Hey, Barb.
Hi.
Thank you for comparing me to Michael McKean, one of the great, great comedic actors of our time.
I know. It's just so crazy that he's on this. He's on Laverne and Shirley.
This was his his big break.
No, yeah, this is pre. He is a kid in the hall, isn't he?
No.
Wait.
Mark McKinney.
Yes.
Michael McKean.
They're both on SNL at the same time.
Michael McKean was not on SNL.
Yes, for like one season, I think.
Oh, maybe he was. You know, there's so much background on Michael McKean. He's so great. You know, you've seen him. He's Lenny in Laverne and Shirley. He's on Better Call Saul. He was in Good Omens. I saw him on Broadway in Superior Donuts.
Oh.
He is just a very versatile actor. He's in so many of the Christopher Guest movies. He was in Spinal Tap.
Well, he's the iconic gay in Best in Show.
Oh,
he's
that's
the
right.
Partner of.
Yes.
He's the Seb, and I am the John Michael Higgins character, who has to pack so many kimonos for a 2-day trip. Anyway. we did get a really nice YouTube comment that I should have.
I would love to hear a very nice YouTube comment, because I need validation in my life. My job is hard.
Always. So this is on, of course, the Alfred Hitchcock episode that we did, an unlocked window. It was part of Pride Month. And the comment from Nico, and then a bunch of words. I don't know. Really enjoyed this podcast. I've been thinking about the mysterious T.C. Jones since seeing the Alfred Hitchcock Hour episode. Thanks so much for your entertaining and interesting discussion. You are welcome. Anything to spread the love of T.C. Jones and early to mid 20th century drag queens, I am clearly here for.
That's where T.C. Jones made his money. Mm-hmm. And that's the history that we were mining then, and we can mine it again when we find something else for next Pride Month. But right now it is Halloween season, and it is October. We are recording on October 1st, 2023. It is a balmy, it's just a plain hot day.
Yeah,
here.
It was feeling pretty fally for a little while.
And now it is so hot that I burned my hand on my doorknob going outside this morning.
Who are you? Joe Pesci?
Ah!
See, Home Alone.
Very nice. Thank you very much for the callback to great comedic performance by Joe Pesci.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing that I need to show off is myself.
Oh, yes.
Again, I am in drag, and everybody needs to see. If you go to the YouTube, hello,
For people watching it, listening on a non-visual platform, Barb is wearing a purple off-the-shoulder dress, velvet or
evening velour. Gown. It is satin.
Satin with elbow-length white gloves with, it looks like gold bracelets on the wrist.
Just a ton of jewelry. The same jewelry I'll wear for everything.
Come over to YouTube and see it in motion. See the wig, see the eye makeup.
Yes.
But if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your must-have seen TV, thank you for listening. We do appreciate it.
Every now and then you'll hear Barb's accent, but otherwise I'll just be talking like myself. Although this is myself. It's a part of me that I've discovered and let out.
Is it a bigger part of you than your Tennessee accent?
Yeah. By far.
It comes and goes.
This week we'll be traveling to January 10th, 1978. Saturday Night Fever ruled the box office. Baby Come Back by Player topped the charts. And ABC aired the Laverne and Shirley episode, The Mortician. Ethan, you must have seen The Mortician before today.
No, I haven't. But I was really impressed by how good it was. Laverne and Shirley does not disappoint. What date? Wait, say it again. What date was this again?
January 10th, 1978.
I'm going to look up what happened that day.
But we are doing this. We're doing Laverne and Shirley because this is a part of a series where we're doing the most popular sitcom of the decade. We started with Life with Luigi. So already blowing our premise. But Life with Luigi only lasted one season. And that one season was the second highest on average. Lyle of Lucy was the number one, but we just done a Lucy episode. And did Andy Griffith last week. Now we are on Laverne and Shirley, which dark horse candidate for the most popular sitcom of the 70s. I was thinking Happy Days, or I was thinking All in the Family. Honestly,
yeah, I was thinking Happy Days or All in the Family. And Laverne and Shirley was, of course, a spinoff of Happy Days.
Happy Days.
Both created by Gary Marshall.
Absolutely wild that it was for a while more popular than Happy Days.
Oh, Barb, Laverne and Shirley was a monster.
Yes.
Laverne and Shirley. So Laverne and Shirley went 8 seasons. Cindy Williams, who played Shirley, left at the 8th season. So she did, I think, 2 episodes. And then she got pregnant and she said, I would like to have some time off to have a baby and be a mother. And they were like, no, you need to come in on your due date. And she's like, well, how about I just quit? And they're like, okay, I guess you can't. I know, ridiculous, right? So the entire 8th season is Laverne and Shirley, but only Laverne. It is only Laverne. They were ready to do a 9th season with just Laverne and still call it Laverne and Shirley. And she said, I want to film in New York City. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back, because it's more expensive to film sitcoms in New York than it is to film in LA. And that's what got the series canceled. Not Cindy Williams, half of Laverne and Shirley leaving the show. And
similar to, Valerie Harper being fired off of her own show because she wanted to be paid like a lead actress should. Anyway, sexism, still dealing with it, baby.
Well, not only was Laverne and Shirley extremely popular from the 70s and 80s, it spun off not one, but 2 animated shows.
Like, what are those? Are they animated Laverne and Shirley? Is it like the Brady Kids?
It's you put them in a strange situation. So in
are they ghost hunters?
In 1981, they did 19 episodes of Laverne and Shirley in the Army.
Oh my God!
So in the 5th season of the show, they joined the Army Reserves, and it was enough to spin out this animated series where their sergeant, Sergeant Squealy. Played by Horseshack, Ron Palillo, from Welcome Back, Kotter, was a pig, a talking pig,
In the army?
Yes. And his boss was Kenneth Mars from Young Frankenstein and The Producers. So that was the first one. Then they got the great idea of let's put all of the Happy Days spinoffs together into one big animated show, the Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley, and Fonz Hour.
And how many episodes did that run?
It didn't run a whole, it ran, I think, also 19 episodes, 14 or 19. Robin Williams did all of the voices for Mork. Pam Dauber did all the Mindy. Henry Winkler did Fonz. Penny Marshall did Laverne. And Shirley was played by Lynn Marie Stewart, who plays Charlie's mom in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, good.
And is Miss Yvonne, the most beautiful woman in Puppetland.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. Laverne and Shirley was this monster mega hit that spun off two animated shows.
What? That's bizarre. I mean, so it's also crazy because this might be like the second or third episode of Laverne and Shirley that I've seen.
Oh, it's such a...
I mostly know it from Wayne's World. from the parody that they do.
It's a show that absolutely deserved to be high rated. It's funny. It's not just quick wit, it's also a lot of physical comedy. Mm-hmm. So it's very broad. It plays to a lot of different audiences, and it has a fantastic ensemble cast. Not only do you have two fantastic comedians in Cindy Williams and Penny Marshall, but like add David Landers and Michael McKean on top of that, and it's chaos every episode. Virtual Marx Brothers.
Oh yeah. And what I enjoyed about this episode, or just in general, like Cindy Williams is playing Shirley is the straight man essentially, but it's still very funny and has her own weird quirks. It honestly feels a lot like Broad City, if we want to, you know, current. Like it has the same, like, you know, one is more reserved than the other, but they both are lunatics.
They're both messes. And that was the introduction of them on Happy Days. It was from an episode called A Date with Fonzie. It was season 3, episode 10. And the whole thing was they wanted to get Richie Cunningham set up with a girl. Okay. And so the episode starts out. He tries to meet girls at a supermarket. Doesn't really work out. So
what else are you going to do before OK Cupid and...
So Swifties. Back then, they had Fonzie's not-so-little black book that had all of the ladies who he had dated and presumably had intercourse with, because the Fonz definitely...
The Fonz got laid. Come on. Even though it's 1950s, people were still doing it.
And that was the whole point, was that Laverne and Shirley were exceedingly easy. Henry Winkler as the Fonzie takes Laverne, and Richie Cunningham, who we saw last episode of Must Have Seen TV, is
as Opie, a baby,
takes Cindy Williams, who plays Shirley, and he's like, this is a sure thing, takes her home and gets interrupted by his parents. Also, the two of them played a dating couple in American Graffiti.
Williams and Ron Howard? Never seen American Graffiti. What is my problem? Am I even a Star Wars fan?
Haven't you seen everything that George Lucas has done?
Including THX Red Tales? I've seen THX 1138.
Okay. So they really like Laverne and Shirley. I know I'm talking so much background on this because I thought it was fascinating. They come back for another 5 episodes, but as the series is being developed by Gary Marshall, who thinks the world of his sister Penny Marshall, who is both a writer and actor, she and Cindy Williams together were writing for Francis Ford Coppola's Zoetrope Productions.
Wow.
That's how they knew each other. So they
that's
were
already
a package deal. They met on a double date and then went to work, became best friends, went to work on for Francis Ford Coppola together. Gary Marshall has developed Happy Days. Gary Marshall has developed The Odd Couple. Penny Marshall is a regular on The Odd Couple.
Oh, yeah.
He says, you know, maybe we can spin off these two into their own series. And we get 8 seasons. Well, really kind of like 7.2 seasons of Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Whew,
and it's all history. And then she directs A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
We
and
then
and she did Big. She did Awakening. She did League of Their Own. She just passed away. I want to say like maybe 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. And Cindy Williams starred in one of Hayden Rourke's final TV movies. Suddenly Love, I think was the name of it. And fun fact, Hayden's nephew, Ricky Rourke, was also in that movie playing Cindy Williams's boyfriend. And and Ricky was a aspiring actor and also gay. And we lost him to AIDS, I think, in the early 90s. But I always just like adore that Hayden had a gay nephew and they got to, you know,
yeah.
And he like tried to help his gay nephew out. I love that. I tried to email or interview Cindy Williams for a long time. We played a lot of email tag, but unfortunately she passed away, you know, even more recently. Oh boy. But this week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the Laverne and Shirley episode, The Mortician. It's the 13th episode of season 3, and it was written by Laura Levine and directed by Alan Rafkin. Here's how IMDb describes the episode. Laverne finds an unknown man attractive. Following him to his workplace, she finds out he's a mortician. She tries to get close by having Shirley fake that she's doomed. Will he feel closer to Laverne for this or horribly offended? Ethan, how accurate is that description?
Oh, it's so good. It's exactly where
a novelist wrote that, like a little Spira novelist. There's a lot of this is just a weirdly detailed little summary there. But yeah, that is the episode. And, you know, it is, you know, it's not a Halloween episode. This aired in January. And there's no spooks, but it is a mortician. And it is, you know, and actually there is a wolfman tie in at the very end. But anyway.
Yes. And morticians, you know, they have a reputation for being kind of creepy.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Despite the fact that my brother-in-law trained as a musician, as a mortician. He is licensed as a mortician, and then he's just like, I don't want to do mortician stuff. I want to manage stores. So he's a manager at a Victoria's Secret at a very nice mall.
So homosexual?
No.
Okay.
He's married to my sister. They have a nephew. I have a nephew. This was a non-Halloween episode at a time when you've told me that there weren't a lot of Halloween themed episodes around the late 70s. It was more like an 80s.
Well, it's just like it didn't really like get take off, you know, holiday episodes in general. You know, it takes a little while for them to really become de rigueur.
Oh, but there's a great Family Affair episode what takes place at Christmas in July. Isn't that festive?
And it features death. It's really a Halloween episode.
Yeah, child.
So we get the opening credits, which if you've seen Wayne's World, you'll recognize them.
It's the first 5 seasons of the show took place in Milwaukee, same place that Happy Days took place. And then 6th season, they jump forward, like, I want to say like 5 or 6 years and are now living in California.
I don't like that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
That would put me off. Well, and also
same cast, though. Everyone got up and moved together.
And like, that ends up happening like, and the ratings fell after the first 4 seasons. Like they moved time slots and they tanked and then they put them back in their original and they got better, but they never reached the glories.
Don't move shows. It doesn't work out.
No one wants it. The episode opens with a tap dancing lesson.
Yes, Carmine, played by Eddie Mecca, and Edna, played by Betty Garrett, who I did not know anything about her, but she was popular enough to have her own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say popular enough to have her own WikiFeet entry. You never know where it's going.
Oh, that's how we're rating celebrity now. Not Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
Feet.
Wait, so who are these people? Because they're not in the rest of the episode.
They're not in the episode. Carmine is just a friend. He dates Shirley every so often. He's just kind of like, you know, when you move two characters from one show into a spinoff, you have to develop their surrounding cast. So Edna, played by Betty Garrett, is their landlady. Her father, Shirley's father, lives in the same building. He's in the credits. Phil Foster is Frank DeFazio. We don't see him at all, but later in the series, he and Edna get married. So the father and the daughter are living in the same building. Carmine's just kind of a friend, but living right above Laverne and Shirley are Lenny and Squiggy.
Okay.
So they're all in the same building.
I mean, it feels like not a very discerning landlady, but I guess, you know, if the paycheck's clear, or if the rent check's clear.
Exactly. You will put up with Lenny and Squiggy.
Well, and so, yeah, it opens with a tap dancing lesson. And then Shirley comes home from her job at the beer bottling plant.
Correct. Right, yeah.
Where she was like, I just had a 12-hour shift, like teaching someone how to put caps on bottles. And Comrade's like, you only work 8 hours. Is like, yeah, 8 hours. And then 4 of those hours, she was literally like on my feet or something. Like
standing on my feet.
Oh, it's like, it was 8 hours standing on my feet. And then 4 of those hours, she was standing on my feet.
So I guess that's the way you train someone, is you have to like be right in front of them.
When you know, the parents doing a slow dance with their child, and it's like, put your feet on my feet. That's what it was.
And then put the caps on the beer bottles, honey. You're doing great.
Yes, yes. Push. Yeah,
but things move fast because Laverne is absent, and they ask Shirley why are you home by yourself, and she says,
and it's like, well, Laverne's been taking the bus home.
She has a crush on a bus passenger. She's been hiking her skirt up a little bit to kind of give him a little leg show as they're standing there holding the bar on the bus together. But so things move fast because we find out that she has followed him to his place of employment.
Yeah, she's like, she's going further than she's going further than she's ever gone before. All the way to his place of employment.
Especially in the 1950s, you know, apparently it was not common for women to approach men and say, I am interested in you. That comes up at the end of the episode.
And so she ends up at a funeral home, and she goes in.
This is where Stan works.
Uh-oh, he runs it with his brother, and whoops, you're in love with a mortician. Now, Ethan, is someone being a mortician a deal breaker? Relationship-wise?
I guess not. And it's kind of funny that you say that, because right now I'm reading a book called the Kurosagi Corpse Delivery Service. It is a very popular adult manga. It is a comic book from Japan about some graduate students who have psychic powers, and they're all kind of involved in the death business, and they get cases from dead bodies trying to solve their murders. And I think one of the characters I'm enamored with is the mortician girl.
Okay.
This spunky little smart kid.
I'm
not kid,
think...
she's a college graduate, but you know.
I guess, you know, if I was a single lady riding the bus and I saw a man who looked like, I don't know, Mr. Robert Wagner, and I followed him home, and he ended up working and living at a mortuary, but that's what they're called, right? Funeral home. Crematorium.
That's, yes, they have those too.
I mean, I do find the mortician profession to be a little bit disturbing. maybe not in enjoyable thing to talk about. But I mean, if the man's hot, I can heat up. I can heat up that funeral home at least one night.
Own little crematorium.
Yeah, let's make some
hot bodies. Make some
ash. I don't know. Yeah, then he is actually more disturbed by me and all the weird jokes I'm awkwardly making. He's like, "You get out.
He'll get over that. Right.
Then we'll get married." No. So anyway, yeah, like she finds out that he works at a funeral home.
He's not the hands deep in the pocket. In the
bodies. He does say, like, "Oh, Laverne from the bus, you have lovely knees." So he does, you know.
He remembers her.
He recognizes her calling card. Her below the waist knockers. Right? Can you call knees that?
Knocking knees?
Knee Knobby knockers, knees. Yeah. And then he sees a bracelet that she has that has cows on it. She drops it because it's like a loose clasp. And
it's from the gift shop at the Chicago Stockyard. And he goes, "Oh, they have a gift shop." She says, "Yeah, it's by the where they kill the cows, but it's you got to go around the back and it's hard to find."
I thought it was funny. Penny Marshall is again, like, I've only ever seen her mostly when she's older. I haven't seen, she has a guest spot on the Bob Newhart show early on, so I've seen that, of course. But she just has such a fun, weird energy. It's very like they cast Terry Garr to play Phoebe's mom on her biological mom on Friends. I could see Penny Marshall playing a Phoebe Buffay's biological mom. Very spacey, very love it.
Some of the younger people watching this, or maybe not even younger, like maybe my age, might remember her and her brother from their cameo in the movie Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
You don't like that?
I'm just like, Hocus Pocus is fine.
But their cameo, he plays...
I appreciate married, them having a cameo.
They're married in Hocus Pocus, in real life.
Which is scary.
Well, she was married to Rob Reiner for 10 years.
Oh, God.
And auditioned for the Sally Struthers part in All in the Family, but they went with Sally Struthers instead.
Man.
But she ended up in real life marrying.
She was the real Sally Struthers.
Exactly.
In a way. So, yeah. So he then starts showing off urns. He's like, "What are you here for?" Which is the thing that I don't think she thought through of, like, you know, you don't just stop by a funeral home. It's not like he was working at a Hollywood Video or something, which didn't exist in the 50s.
And, you know, the whole thing about funeral homes is that they tend to be one of two things. One, very functional square buildings that have funeral home really big because it's like in an urban area. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a suburban one, they tend to be these very nice Victorian mansions.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they're just like, you know, it's just lots of space, like big.
Yeah.
Big one story house, home for the funeral.
You legitimately might miss the sign. It might just be this really nice house. Granted, it means that she also followed him into what she might have assumed was just his house.
Which is also, what's your business here?
Get out of rent house.
Airbnb.
But he gestures over to the urns and he says, "Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If you're getting cremated, an urn is a must." And there's like a little bit of a titter of laughter. And she goes, "I love poetry."
I will say, I mean, they're not convincing me that this guy's a catch, but they are showing me a lot of Laverne's character. It's about who she finds attractive. Because this guy, he has a Crispin Glover vibe to him.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
You know, he's no Mr. Wagner. He's no Ken Berry.
He's played by John Fink. He didn't do a ton of stuff. He kind of did small roles in like Basketball and Batman and Robin. And
all the greats.
Yeah. Flatliners, The Client, the only John Grisham. Yeah,
20 years later, you're going to be in the biggest movies, Batman and Robin and Basketball. What an icon.
He's fine. So then
Well, a customer comes in.
Yeah,
which is weird. I mean, a grieving person comes in.
So she's feeling awkward because she's like, I want to hit on this guy more. There's work to be done because this guy's brother is coming in from the, the body's being shipped. He's given a seat just to kind of like just in the funeral parlor while Stan the mortician goes off to check on the body delivery, and Laverne just goes, "Isn't he a nice guy?"
Yeah. That's one thing we can agree on, the mortician. Mwah. Such a nice man.
Nice man.
And then we get some amazing physical comedy of, Laverne's looking at an urn, and then what happens is the bracelet falls off into the urn. She like looks around and is like, "Oh no, wait, it's in there. Oh no." So she reaches in to get it out. Of course, the hand gets stuck in the urn. It's good. It's all good.
We're getting dust all over the place. Ashes everywhere, which is great. She tries
to play it off as like, oh, no big deal. She like puts her hand, the urn arm, like between her legs, and then like sits on it. I guess she's trying to like pull it out, but then the guy's like, "Oh, do you want a seat?" And she's like, "Oh no, I'm fine." Like she's sitting on her urn hand.
It's virtually Harpo Marx physical comedy. Yeah. It's really good. So it's not just the cool lines and the great performance. It's just suddenly there's this physical aspect of it. There's dust all over the place. And Stan comes back. She fesses up.
I got a dead person on my arm.
And he goes, weird. No, that's a display urn. We use it as an ashtray. And she says, "Oh, I guess that's why I felt gum in it." So she pulls, he helps her pull the hand out. And then asks the $1 million question, "Why are you here?"
Yeah. She's like, "Oh, yeah, well, no one's dead yet." Like, she's making it up as she goes along. It's her roommate, Shirley. Yeah, she's only got so long.
And then his tone turns into very sympathetic. "Oh, I'm so sorry. Could he bring her in here? We can talk about pre-planning." I mean, this is a sale as far as he's concerned. This is great.
Yeah, which that takes a special kind of person.
Hey, ABC, always be closing.
Yeah, even if you're closing the caskets.
No.
When they turn around, there's ashes. There's like soot or whatever on the back of Stanley's on his back.
Yeah,
they missed the joke of having a handprint on his tushy.
Yeah. That ruined this episode.
How dare they miss that obvious joke? But Lenny and Squiggy are.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Also, wait, hold on. Lydia Swiggy, you're delivering beer to the funeral home.
Yeah. Why not? The
funeral homes have it on tap.
The best funeral homes have it on
tap.
Yeah,
I feel like it's usually BYOB, BYOC, then BYOB.
Or you cater, you cater these things. There are people who cater funerals all the time.
Yeah.
If I had a nickel for every time one of my family members died when I was growing up in Philadelphia, and we went to someone's house afterwards and they had a big whitefish platter, I'd be a millionaire. We had, well, A, everyone was dying, and B, everyone served whitefish.
Hey, Well, they get there, and then doesn't Stanley like let it like, or they see that Laverne was there, and are like, why was she here?
Well, they were initially upset because there were no corpses on display, and yes. Lenny wanted to see a real live dead body.
Oh,
Lenny and Squiggy are just two of the most interesting characters because they're these kind of like, they play themselves off as Lotharios, but they're really nerds.
Oh, God, yeah.
The huge nerds.
I mean, they're, to put it in millennial terms, they're Bulk and Skull. Oh, God.
Like... Oh, perfect example. The two of them, though, do go all the way back to college together.
They were friends
in college at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, where they developed the Lenny and Squiggy characters.
Oh, the characters, not the characters. The actors, not the characters.
The actors, not the characters.
Oh, God.
No. The actors, Michael McKean and David Lander, were friends and performers in college. They ended up, where was it? They worked with the Credibility Gap, which I think was in L.A., Credibility Gap was a radio performance group, released actually albums. Harry Shearer was part of the group for a while. Three of them. They would do an annual Rose Bowl parade commentary, which was very popular. They released an album, multiple albums.
And a Rose Bowl parade commentary?
No, just concept albums. Back in the 70s.
Comedy
albums. And the two of them stayed best friends through the rest of their lives. David Lander passed away, I want to say, last year.
Yeah.
He had multiple sclerosis. He was diagnosed in, I think, 1984, 1985. And he released his autobiography, which was called How Squiggy Caught Multiple Sclerosis and Didn't Tell Nobody. I love that title.
We'd love to see it or read it.
They played Lenny and Squiggy on together for all the seasons. And David Lander did a lot of voice work. His voice, he talks like this, which is very very distinct. He played, I just learned this the other day, he played in Jerry Lewis in an animated series called Will the Real Jerry Lewis Please Sit Down?
He can't get no respect even.
No, because everyone hated Jerry Lewis. He was a piece of shit.
Wait, so he's still alive, isn't he?
No, he's dead.
Oh, yeah, okay. God. My brain ain't working.
And then the last 3 years, it's like, no. He sexually assaulted multiple people, credibly.
Right. So fun till the daddy takes the T-Bird away.
But David Lander, actually fantastic guy, played Doc Boy in the Garfield.
Oh, great. I love Doc Boy.
So he doesn't have any of that.
Surely as the rivers part. Let's see. Yeah, so good. Well, this is where they find out that, you know, from the mortician that Shirley is dying. And, the world's rocked.
They are inconsolable.
Yeah. It was smash cut to Shirley at home. Reading a children's book to a stuffed cat.
Yeah. The cat was in other episodes. That's Boo Boo Kitty. Boo Boo Kitty is just her stuffed animal that she loves. Boo Boo Kitty shows up a couple different places, a lot of different episodes. It's weird that she's reading a little golden book to Boo Boo Kitty, but you know.
Yeah, I love that. Well, then she hears like a knock at the door or whatever, just like hides it. But it's Laverne that comes home, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Laverne comes in. She says, oh, I went to his place of business. And she goes, oh, he's a businessman. He has his own business. And she goes, well, he's a mortician. She goes, ew.
Yeah, it's big. It's such a funny reaction. Goes,
well, someone has to do it, but we don't have to know them.
Yeah.
So whereas you have huge crushes on people that we've seen in these episodes, I have a huge crush on Cindy Williams. I had a huge crush on her growing up. She's adorable.
Oh, and yes.
Hilarious.
And deserved to be in every episode of this show.
Yes. She deserved to be.
This is why there are unions.
It could. And then she and Penny Marshall had a falling out and they didn't reconcile until before they died.
Oh God!
Like what the hell?
That
this
sucks.
World ruins good people.
Well, and now she's like, well, now you know he wants to meet you, and then like she keeps like trying to explain what's happening, and she's just Shirley's just laughing. Is like no,
because I told you that they told him that you're gonna die, and she's
like, I'm not doing this. But then, wait, look at my head and watch my head.
She just nodded her head. No.
Yeah. And then that's when Alan Steckler is brought up. The guy who chewed his socks.
The blackmail.
Yeah.
Because
they're like, well, like a couple years ago, Shirley wanted to go on a date with a pharmacist. But in order to do that, which I mean, hey, pharmacists make a lot of money, especially back then. And also pharmacist, he's probably running like a soda ice cream like emporium as well. Because that was all tied together.
And now what do? You go to CVS, you just buy Diet Mountain Dew, the whole soda fountain pharmacy, gone, thing of the past.
What?
The world is terrible.
We really shouldn't. We should not have let that slip away.
Exactly.
What is up? Was it because like people would hate going to the pharmacy? And so they're like, well, I don't know, like throw some ice cream and sody pop in there.
Or maybe it was the other way around. They were like, oh, it's getting too popular, people aren't coming for the pharmacy stuff, they're coming for the food and the malts, so they had to like split the two apart. My guess is that like they probably had to put like medicines in the carbonated water as something that you would be able to go home with somebody. Mm. And then you could be like, oh, if you don't want any medicine in your sparkling beverage, here's some like syrup that tastes like, you know,
cherries.
Yeah. Cherries or root
or
beer.
Or blue.
And but that's my guess. And now someone can please tell me that I'm wrong. Or tell
Gen
me that
Z, you need to resurrect this long lost tradition. It's too late for us.
Exactly. You need to put together your own pharmacy that's not a CVS or a Walgreens or a Duane Reade.
Or like, I get capsule delivered to me, and I'm like, capsule should also deliver milkshakes to me. I should ask for that.
You should get maybe a coupon for like a free milkshake if you're getting like medicine.
Yeah. Especially at our house, we would get a lot because we get a lot of medicine.
Right.
If it was like a punch card, we'd be getting free shakes every week.
That's Express Scripts. Oh. Express Scripts that have a thing with McDonald's. You go down, you get like a free junior cone, and you'd be like, hey, I'm on Ozempic, but I'm also eating this 200 calorie kids cone.
I need a hamburger right now. Oh, God. I'm very hungry. But anyway, yeah. So the pharmacist was friend with a monster who chewed his socks. And so that is who Laverne had to go on. Was it multiple dates with?
Yes, it was multiple dates that involved making out, and he tasted like kissing a hamper.
Yeah, which is just, I mean, chewing socks is gross. But there's,
it's
kind of like my strange addiction. Like I just eat the couch stuffing people.
Yeah, it's like, what is it? It's Pika?
No.
Pika's the one where you eat hair.
Oh, no, thank you.
There's like another one where you just kind of like eat things.
People need to get normal hobbies.
People
like dressing up like a woman to host a podcast.
Exactly. Or eat normal things like the McDonald's kids cone, which is 200 calories at McDonald's right now. Oh,
God, so good. But then Lenny and Squiggy show up, and I love them. They got Shirley a lifetime subscription to her favorite magazine, which is wild because it is Confidential magazine. So it's like, man, Shirley loves the dirt. Shirley loves like the career ending gossip. Like she's like, give me that rag. I want to see who the homos are and the commies. Like, it's like, God, Shirley, that's a intense read.
Yeah. Because Laverne and Shirley were not shrinking violets. These were not.
Oh, I love that.
You know, this was not Donna Reed life, 1950s. No, this is
the 70s version of the 50s, which is slightly more real than the 50s version of the 50s.
Yes.
But she's like,
I'm assuming that I'm assuming that you know, these kind of people existed in the 1950s as well. We read Confidential magazine. We go all the way on a first date because, you know what? We're awesome. That's
I'm a nerd, but I wear a leather jacket.
Yeah.
I talk. I got a distinctive voice. But she's like, wait a second. The subscription is only for 6 weeks. It's fun.
Because they expect Shirley to be dying. They're not. They haven't been told otherwise. It's a going away gift.
How does Shirley end up in a hearse?
Because he picks her. I stumbled over my words just now. Lenny and Squiggy see the hearse, pick them up.
Oh my god.
From their window, and it's like, oh god. Oh.
She always wanted to ride in a big car.
The hearse. Which you get this like ADR voice of, hey, scooch over. I know there's a lot of room back here, but you know, you don't have to be on top of me. Because all they did was just film, like, maybe it was
the back of a hearse,
stock footage of a hearse driving away from a building.
So when they get to the funeral home, Stanley shows the casket that Laverne has on layaway.
$40.
Yeah.
The plainest of pine boxes. No interior, anything.
No, and little Shirley, pillow.
Shirley wants the pillow.
You're going to put me in an orange crate.
Exactly. Which was marked down from $60. It was $30 on, it was $40 on sale. No pillow. Can't rest your head.
No lining, nothing.
So they said, can you, Laverne pulls her aside and says, can you be a little bit more sad? Can you switch to cowardly about dying instead of not giving a shit about it? So,
and she starts acting.
Yeah, she really starts getting into this sobbing. Oh, I'm really a coward. I'm a chicken. I'm a lily livered chicken. The entire time.
Stanley,
and Stan
comforts
falls
her.
For it.
Yeah, good for Stan. Why does Laverne give up the gig? He's like trying to like send her out so like they can look at caskets, I guess.
Yeah, and she lets it slip that she's not dying. She lets it slip that Shirley's
So Shirley's still there, and then he's like, "Wait, what?" And then Laverne's like, "Oh yeah, I mean, I forgot to tell you, the doctor called. They found a vaccine. Yippee!"
They found a vaccine to prevent you from your non-specific illness. I loved it. It was great. it's a load off my mind. Then they have to apologize to the mortician by saying, we didn't mean to do anything low and disgusting. It just turned out that way.
And he's like, why did you do this? It's like, okay, well, 2 years ago, she wanted to go out with a pharmacist. Like, they have to like start. It's like that is a bizarre beginning to any explanation.
But then he said, why didn't you just ask me? And here's where it gets poignant, because she said, you know, I didn't want you to think I was a floozy by taking the first step. And he says, well, I wouldn't think you're a floozy, but can I call you next week?
And she's like,
yeah.
Did I give you my number? And he's like, three times yesterday.
We get a scene where Laverne and Shirley are talking about this, doing a little of post-mortem on Stan. And Laverne says, all my life, people told me you can't go up to a guy and ask him out. But now I will.
Liberation.
And Shirley says, and because because we were told that they'll think you're cheap. And then she goes, Stan didn't think you were cheap. Stan thought you were disgusting.
which
would you rather be, cheap or disgusting?
Yeah.
And they said cheap.
And then Shirley's like, well, actually, I'll change my mind. Okay. then the little stinger at the end is Halloween.
Lenny and Squiggy. Oh, it's Halloween. Lenny and Squiggy. Or
it's intact. Well, I mean, so Laverne and Shirley are at home. Shirley is asleep on the couch. Laverne is watching the Wolfman, and she's like, "Oh, you! I can't believe you slept through the Wolfman's whole body getting hairy." Like,
best part, the Wolfman's body got all hairy.
Yeah. And then Lenny and Squiggy come in suits. They got funeral armbands, flowers.
Big lilies. And Cindy Williams, playing Shirley, pretends to be dead on the couch, and then she stands up and pretends to be a zombie, and
yeah,
the flowers go flying and they run out of, and that's the end of the show.
Yeah, they're like, oh, she's a ghost. Yeah, so yeah, fun, you know, fun. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever see Stan again.
We don't see Stan again.
Didn't do that kind of stuff back then.
There are few steady boyfriends. If you want to watch Laverne and Shirley, if you want to watch this episode, it is on Daily Motion. Many episodes of Laverne and Shirley are on Amazon Prime and on Pluto TV. Just not all of them for some reason.
It's like, usually actor, right? So it's like, so who is the holdout amongst these people? But it could also be anything. Could be any number of things.
Yeah, so you have to go kind of search for this one, folks. There's a version up on YouTube, but the sound isn't all that great.
And so, they also had, you know, they had to do the weird cropping in order to try and trick all the robots that look for copyright material. Whatever.
Yeah.
Are you ready for some must-have facts about this? The biggest sitcom of the 70s.
Yeah, the biggest sitcom of the 70s. We've gone from Life with Luigi to Andy Griffith Show to Laverne and Shirley.
What a motley crew. So 27.4 million households watched this episode of television. Ooh. It was number two for the week, but the top five shows of the week were five was All in the Family, four was Happy Days.
Ooh.
Three was the Super Bowl post game. Two was Laverne and Shirley, and the number one was the Super Bowl. So the only thing that could beat these two broads from Milwaukee was whatever football players. I didn't look up who was playing in 78.
Well, the only other thing that was happening on this day was Soyuz 27 launched to the Salyut 6 space station.
Ooh, space station.
Space stuff.
The ABC Tuesday night lineup was Happy Days, followed by Laverne and Shirley, then Three's Company, then Soap, and then the drama Family. What a night.
Ooh, that's a great night.
I mean,
strap yourself in. This is great. Stick with it.
When looking through the the top shows of the 70s, it is wild how everything was there were just so many cinematic universes in the 70s.
Oh,
all running at the same time, because we had the All in the Family universe with your Mods and Jeffersons, and I think just then like the spinoffs of those spinoffs, and just it kept going.
If you do recall, Betty Garrett, who was in the opening scene as Edna, was also known for playing Irene, the neighbor in All in the Family.
Okay, see, there you go.
So she doubled it. She got the best ones.
The Happy Days universe, which included your Mork and Mindy and your Laverne and Shirley.
And your Joni Loves Chachi.
Joni loving that Chachi. Then there was the Mary Tyler Moore universe, because Rhoda and Phyllis, and then later Lou Grant, a drama. And oh god, there was another one that I thought of that then Alice Beget Flo. Like, it is wild just how like they just were. No, you're getting last. Here's a show. And the crazy thing is most of them were successful.
Yeah, we hear about them.
Yeah.
And you know, Happy Days itself was a spinoff of Love American Style.
Yeah, right.
So everything was just like, so you'd say that Laverne and Shirley Go Into the Army was a spinoff of a spinoff of a spinoff.
Like, yeah. And this is why the Tommy Westfall universe is so wild. The whole Saint Elsewhere kid looking in the snow globe.
Wasn't that the Dwayne McDuffie theory that
Tommy Westfall is the name of the little boy that's looking in the
snowboard. The idea was Dwayne McDuffie's, that since all of these characters will do like one-off appearances in each other's shows, that it expands all the way from like I Love Lucy.
It's like 90% of all television. Like, it is like, wild. I did an article on it.
Streets. Yeah, it's amazing.
So many years ago. So what are you watching on this night of television?
You got to give me something good to beat Laverne and Shirley.
Well, what are you watching? Also, the newspaper that I pulled these from. Oh, boy. Really loved writing descriptions. So on ABC, we've got Laverne and Shirley, the mortician. Laverne loses her heart to the local mortician and his big black car. But she needs Shirley to help her get a date with him. Shirley doesn't know what she's letting herself in for when she agrees to help. Then on CBS, we've got the Fitzpatricks. Mike and Maggie go away for a final weekend together before the expected arrival of their new baby. The trip is cut short, though, when the baby decides to be born sooner than anticipated, causing uncomfortable confrontations with the other Fitzpatricks caught in the middle of a party and paramedics when there's no time to get to the hospital. What? That's so much information. And then on NBC, a rerun of the pilot of Man from Atlantis. This is the original pilot that spawned the Fishy series, starring Patrick Duffy as Mark Harris, the man from Atlantis, taken to a naval hospital after being discovered washed up on shore. Dr. Elizabeth Merrill Belinda J. Montgomery discovers that Mark has gills instead of lungs, and he is able to stay underwater for hours at a time and can swim faster than a dolphin. The Navy promptly enlists Mark and sends him to find a missing submarine. This leads to Mark's first encounter with the mysterious and evil Mr. Schubert, Victor Buono.
Victor Buono?
Yeah, so
I have a Victor Buono figure on my wall.
So, what are you watching?
Oh, Laverne and Shirley, hands down.
Are you sure?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
What if you missed the Man from Atlantis pilot when it aired earlier this season?
No, Patrick Duffy, interesting enough, but not interesting enough to beat Laverne and Shirley. If I'm a kid at that time, oh my God, I want to tune into Lenny and Squiggy and see what they're up to. Their goofy antics.
Oh, this is correct. So like if I'm a homosexual, Jesus, my
you're probably watching Patrick Duffy.
No, but like if I'm a homosexual man in 1977, who's 39, 78. If I'm myself, then, you know, you're watching Laverne and Shirley every week because the dolls are getting it. The divas are working, you know, the sass is there, the shade. We love it. But then Man from Atlantis is like hairy Patrick, young Patrick Duffy in like tiny, tiny gold shorts and Victor Buono, gay icon.
Yeah.
So it depends. I will assume, oh, but Man from Atlantis comes on at the same time as Laverne and Shirley, and there are no VCRs. What am I going to do? I guess if I haven't seen the pilot, I'm going to watch it. Because well, it only lasts 13 episodes. I got to get it in while I can.
I think didn't they make a comic book of it?
So, Man from Atlantis had a Marvel comic that lasted 7 issues, right at this time, written by Bill Mantlo, and with art by Tom Sutton for issue 1, and then Frank Robbins for the rest of the run.
Bill Mantlo was big on, he did the Hulk.
Didn't he create Rocket Raccoon?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. Bill Mantlo.
And also Man from Atlantis, the comic.
He's still alive. I remember when the movies came out, everyone was like, Marvel's making millions of dollars off of Rocket Raccoon, and the creator of Rocket Raccoon is broke. And
he has some illness. Like
he's in a wheelchair.
He's not doing well. So
Look to the Hero Initiative.
Yes, Hero Initiative.
donate money to them. They are a great cause that will take care of your favorite comic book creators in their later years, as so much of these agreements with comic book companies were work for hire. So,
and they didn't get anything. And you know, Marvel and DC ain't taking care of them. No. Might have created Rocket Raccoon. You might have given them billions of dollars in box office. They ain't going to take care of him. Anyway.
You just know that the voice of Rocket Raccoon,
Bradley Cooper,
probably made more money voicing Rocket Raccoon than Bill Manto probably made in his entire career.
Oh, God. Just for one of the movies, I bet. On IMDb, 90 Laverne Shirley acts gave this an 8.3 out of 10. Would you go higher or lower? Is that right on the money?
I'd go higher. I'd go to like 8.6. This was great.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know the like scale of quality of Laverne and Shirley, but I would say this is a solid, I mean, 8.38. Like, I mean, it was a good solid episode. I assume there are better ones of Laverne and Shirley, but this seems like a good workhorse, you know. We're grinding out 30 of these a year at this point, you know, that kind of.
Yeah, they're
good. It was really good.
There were a lot of episodes per season, but you know what? Just try to don't even watch this one. Don't even track this one down, people at home. Just find some Laverne and Shirley, because every episode, especially like the first, like I want to say like 4 or 5 seasons, every episode was great. Every episode was funny. You had a great mix of characters and great lines. It was just absolutely spectacular.
I need to watch more.
Oh,
who had the must-see performance?
Cindy Williams.
Oh,
I take that back. Marshall. I take that back. And I only say that because I have a crush on her.
Yeah.
But no, Penny Marshall had the must-see performance. She was carrying all those scenes with her and this completely straight-laced mortician.
Just she a real void of a person.
Yeah, in a black suit. Like,
who is this guy?
I'm wearing a black shirt right now that says the word strike on it. I look like a 1960s Batman.
Oh, yeah. I would say Penny Marshall killed it, crushed it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Must other people see this episode you just said? I mean, I think, yeah, if you want to, but like you said, I think you could probably go to those first 4 seasons on Pluto and Amazon Prime, put one on.
Yeah.
Party, baby.
I can't say anything for Laverne and Shirley in the Army. I know that Cindy Williams did the voice of Shirley for that, but for the Mork and Mindy Laverne and Shirley Fonz Hour, she did not do the voice for that.
No seal of approval there.
Then you get Ron Palillo.
I'm surprised that Laverne and Shirley never teamed up with Scooby-Doo.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
I mean, it feels like a natural fit. But I guess that the Scooby-Doo movies happened in the early 70s, and this is like late, so.
Yeah.
But they did team up with the Harlem Globetrotters and Batman and Robin.
And Don Knotts.
And the Addams Family, Don Knotts.
Mama Cass, Sonny and Cher.
Great.
Don Knotts, so out of all people.
So, I mean, that's it for the 1970s. We're going to the 80s next, where my fingers would be crossed for Cheers, but I'm feeling it's probably going to be Cosby Show, so we might be doing the second most popular. We'll just be playing that by ear.
Yeah.
Oh, because it needs to be a Halloween episode as well, so we will figure that out.
Now it's Halloween season.
Thank God. Ethan, where can people find you on the internet?
Check me out on EthanK55 at Instagram or EthanK at Blue Sky. I see you posting up a storm on Blue Sky.
I'm trying. I'm trying to use that shit.
There's not a lot of traction on Blue Sky, but I like it better.
You know, if I can actually read everything, that's nice.
I did learn that Twitter, while being a cesspool of filth, does end up remaining a community for various groups. Mm-hmm. Like I was talking to Megan about it, and she's like, oh, you know, we're doing some advertising for doctors on Twitter. And I'm like, Twitter. She's like, no, doctors know that it's garbage, but it's still the best place to get in touch with other doctors.
Yeah.
You know, other voices and names in their profession. So they're sticking with it. And there are other groups that are sticking with Twitter, X, whatever, just because it's the place that they've carved out, regardless of Elon Musk and regardless of everything else.
We need a town hall. Anyway, y'all can find me on Instagram at Barb Hardly, and then also at Brett White. And then you can find me on Twitter at Brett White, and then also at Brett White on Blue Sky. And go to YouTube and search for Barb Hardly and look at all my videos that I'm making. And it takes me like, 2.5 hours to get into all this. So please make it worth my while, please.
We have 660 views as of today on the Alfred Hitchcock episode. See?
So come on, keep it coming, baby. Go to MustHaveSeenTV on YouTube. Leave reviews on iTunes. Send us emails at MustHaveSeenTV@gmail.com. And go to the YouTube, obviously, and et cetera, et cetera. And I guess we will see y'all in the 80s when it gets spooky. Right.
Take care, everybody.
Bye, y'all. Mwah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.